Area the Addisons.
Let me say this. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh.
Erin Addisons.
On American Family Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's great to be back with you after a long, blessed weekend.
Yes.
Celebrating the birth of our country with some friends and just having a great time. It was wonderful. We did a video over the weekend, and I'm not really sure that it went over well.
No, some people didn't get the joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. So we're on social media, we're on Facebook, and we were just having a little fun with our kids, and we're playing with superheroes. And this particular superhero came with like these changeable, like a chest plate and like some mask gear.
Yeah.
You know, which one person even asked the question, if you've got a mask superhero, why does it need an additional mask?
Yeah.
I don't know. We just buy it. And probably shouldn't. But anyways, we do want our boys to engage in imaginative play and roughhousing and superheroes, and we encourage them to save their sisters, even if they don't want to be saved. Open the door, let him in. He's going to save you, whether you like it or not. And so anyway, as we were playing with it, there was just one black mask that went over the face of Spider-Man. And I jokingly said, you know, just thinking about what's happening in our culture today, I jokingly said, oh, look, they've put Spider-Man in blackface. And Will said, oh, my goodness, let's do a video. That's hilarious. Like, that's funny. And I thought, I think it's funny, too. So we decided we would just do a quick video talking about why we were triggered. And let me tell you, this comes on the heels of watching what happened with Colin Kaepernick and the Betsy Ross flag, which, by the way, was absolutely ridiculous. I brought something with me today to share with our listeners because I think it's so important for people to really understand that you have people who are invested. I mean, they are sold out to upsetting you and making you suspicious of other people, making you feel like this country is set up to just destroy you. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason you should love it, no reason you should care about it. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But anyway, it was on the heels of the whole Colin Kaepernick, Betsy Ross flag, Nike debacle. And you know, we were just talking about how foolish it is. I mean, it's just absolutely foolish. And so, you know, we said any little thing can trigger people. So we were looking at this Spider-Man who came with this black mask, and we said, oh, we're so offended. We're triggered. They've done put Spider-Man in a black mask.
Man.
And so we said, you know what? Let's go ahead and make a video. We're gonna call for Marvel to give an official apology. This is insensitive. Our kids are playing with this. I don't know what kind of country our kids are going to grow up in. Well, we thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, we were having a grand old time. But not only did you hear back from people who were concerned, there were some people under the post who were, they were disappointed with us. They didn't know. I got a couple messages, private messages, which were great. These messages were, hey, we think we know what it is. Like, it's not actually blackface. Like, it was wonderful. It was so genuine,
oh my
and
goodness.
I appreciated it. But I got it. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I overthink things to the max.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, just imagine the amount of people who maybe saw the video but didn't contact us to let us know that they were concerned.
That's right.
So I was like, oh my goodness, this is absolutely insane. Like, it was a parody. That's all. It was just a little satire. Just a little, you know, we don't really think that Marvel Comics put Spider-Man in blackface.
Right.
We weren't really triggered.
No.
We didn't think the box should have come with a trigger warning. All of these are things that we said in the video. If you're friends with us on Facebook, you can see the video. If you're not a friend, you can't see it. Because there are some mild cameos, quick cameos of our kids. And so, you know, you have to be friends to see it, just for our own safety and peace of mind. How about that? but I just thought the whole thing about the Colin Kaepernick thing, and you and I were talking about this over the weekend as we had some more time to just kind of digest what was going on and update our profile pictures to celebrate the 4th of July. We were talking about how easy it is for people to be triggered and to be caught up in bickering and quarreling and all of these things that make no sense. And as I understand it, and I got to tell you, look, I did not invest a whole lot of time in trying to understand what Colin Kaepernick was saying about the Betsy Ross flag. I just thought it was utterly ridiculous. I thought it was utterly ridiculous for Nike to respond the way that they did. So it was one of those things that I file in my foul bin, you know, focus on this never. I gotta tell you, that's it goes. I have a bin for that.
Ignore all the time.
I have a bin for that where I just go, you know what? Ignore all the time.
Yeah.
Focus on this never. Invest energy in this. Mm-mm, nope. And that's all of that's on the label. It's a big label, but all of it goes into that bin. And the Colin Kaepernick, Betsy Ross thing went into that bin. But the crazy thing, and you and I were talking about this over the weekend. Now, my hobby is church history.
Yeah.
For people who don't know that, my hobby is church history. I love, love, love church history. I love reading about it. It is my secret steal away every moment that I get. That's what I enjoy reading when I mean, and I could be reading multiple books, you know, because maybe I have a show coming up or doing an interview, but my own personal enjoyment, my own personal enrichment, I enjoy church history. It is my hobby. Mm. So learning more about the story of the Christian church is my passion. And a few years back, I mentioned on Aaron the Addisons, a book that I was reading that was entitled The Story of the Christian Church. The Story of the Christian Church is more of an academic book. It wasn't one of those kind of leisurely reads, although because I enjoy history so much, it's a leisurely read for me. Like I was just, you know, just going through it. I wasn't getting a test on it or anything like that, but a little more of an academic book.
Yeah.
But it went through the different periods of the church. And one of the things that was covered in this book, and this is what I went back to over the weekend, and just thinking about this whole dust up with the Betsy Ross flag. Now, Betsy Ross and her family were Quakers, right?
Yeah.
They were, she was like fourth generation, you know, settled in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And now she was actually kind of, how do you describe it? She was kind of disowned by her family because she married someone who wasn't a Quaker.
Mm.
So you could argue that in the stint of time that she was married four times, right? Her three previous husbands all died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, connected to the Revolutionary War. It was amazing. Just to read a little history about Betsy Ross. But you could argue that in the time that Betsy Ross was married to, I think it was her first husband who wasn't a Quaker, you could argue that that's where she picked up her racist tendencies. you could say it was the man that God gave her to, you know, that caused that. But Betsy Ross was a Quaker. And the interesting thing about this, and you and I were talking about this over the weekend, so humor me if some of our listeners have already done a little bit of digging on their own, you've already found this out. There are many more people who have not found this out and already found themselves upset over Nike's audacity to feature the Betsy Ross flag, or maybe they were upset because they were like, yeah, this country is racist and blah, 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 blah. Well, here's what I'm going to read to you, an excerpt from the book that I read a few years back and talked about a lot on the air, just kind of introducing our listeners to church history and trying to just whet just an appetite for understanding the story of the Christian church. Well, here we go. I'm going to read to you this excerpt from the book, The Story of the Christian Church, because I think it's important for people to understand this about Quakers. They were actually anti-slavery.
Oh, well,
hold up. Wait a minute.
Seemed like that would be an important piece of information to understand.
Hey, Colin, did you research that? Or when you got your marching orders, did you just go?
Right.
And they said, hey, Colin, there's a racist flag on the back of Nike tennis shoes. What you going to do about that? And Colin was like, well, I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to use my intersectionality points.
There you go.
And I'm going to cash them in.
It's the era of wokeness.
It's the era of wokeness. And since I've got some intersectionality points, right, I'm going to make sure that Nike capitulates to me. And so that's what Colin Kaepernick did. But I want you to listen to this. All right, so I'm just going to pick up here, and you'll get the gist of it. Active persecution ceased both in England and America after the Revolution of 1688, and the Quakers bore their testimony and formed societies in many of the colonies. While their organization was simple, their discipline was strict. Slavery was in existence in every colony, but was forbidden among the Friends, and they bore strong testimony against it, even in the Southern plantations.
Mm.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. So if there was going to be a group of people who were going to be anti-slavery, who were going to be anti-owning another human, it would have been the Quakers. This is the history and the legacy of Betsy Ross. I want people to understand this. Like, this is, and so when you have something so silly, I almost said stupid. I have to be careful because
we don't use that word at home.
We don't use it. We teach our kids not to use this very strong word. We have to also teach them the difference between like a bad word and a bad word.
Yeah.
Because we have our own standards, right? So we don't say those words. But to believe something and to be allowed or to allow yourself to be so manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? By a person like Colin Kaepernick. This is what you get. And so you and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
And we were thinking like, man, you know, if somebody would have done a little bit of research and said, well, who is Betsy Ross? Like, what's her story?
Right.
You know, what's
none of that matters in the age of wokeness, though.
You're exactly
we don't need to know
right.
those details.
That's exactly where we are. And so it's really frustrating when you have things like that. We were talking about it over the weekend. And so I think it was our discussion, you and I think it was our discussion over the weekend that really prompted me to mock on social media
the
easy trigger warnings that right. need to be in place. Because, right. you know, we're triggered by cotton at Hobby Lobby. I mean, let's just think about the things that we're, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we're there are all sorts of things that we can be upset over. And what I'm saying to the believer is save your energy for those things that really should offend you.
Come on.
You know, things like sin, wickedness and rebellion, the body of Christ being divided, the Come church on. Being split down the center over racial and ethnic and cultural lines. Those things should really upset you. But nope, that's not it. It's flag designs. Flags designed by racist, slavery-loving women. Nope, that's not even it. That's not even it. What would have been innate to her thinking would have been that truly all men are created equal. That would have been a part of her social construct, man. Like, but you know what? We can't even talk about that in the age of wokeness, Will, because if we talk about stuff like that, then what you and I become is called coon.
Oh my goodness.
Like that's what we become. We become, you know, we're dancing on sand. Challa.
Oh my goodness.
Hello, my baby. That's what it is. That's what we get called.
So be it.
I don't know if people understand that. Now, I mean, there are still people who would say that for you to even research that, for you to even bring that to the discussion, for you to even talk about that makes you an Uncle Tom. Again, I would go back and say, what do you know about Harry Beecher Stowe? I would say, what do you know about Uncle Tom's Cabin? Many people haven't even read it. Many people know nothing about the Beechers. Now, again, this is me getting, and I'm not trying to say that everybody needs to know everything about everything.
Right.
Right. I'm more like Benjamin Franklin. You know, jack of all trades, master of one, which is what he said. It's misquoted as master of none. That's not what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, jack of all trades, master of one. And his thought was that everyone should know a little bit about everything. Just a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you should know a lot about one thing. Everyone should know, there should be that one thing that you know a lot about. So I'm not saying that everybody's got to be a student of church history. Admittedly, it's a hobby of mine. I really do enjoy it. But I'll tell you, in reading Uncle Tom's Cabin and reading a biography on Harriet Beecher Stowe, but then at the same time studying church history and learning about her father, Lyman Beecher, who came to faith during the Yale Revival. Guys, like there's so much that we don't know about the rich, godly heritage of our country that people are able to exploit our ignorance and then use it against us, cause divisions in the church, cause us to be looking at one another as if we are enemies. Let me tell you something. There is, because people will say, you know, because us, because we, and they, and them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're using it in the wrong sense, because there is an us and a we, and there is a they and a them. There's only two camps, right? There are those who are on the Lord's side, who have been redeemed, who have been saved, who have received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and then there are those who are not.
That's right.
And so if there is to be an us versus a them, the them is going to be those who are outside of the body of Christ. Those are the ones that we are looking at and we're watching. Those are the ones that we are standing against with the truth, right? It's not going to be people just based on their skin color or their socioeconomic status or where they live or where they grew up. It's not going to be that. Do you understand that the greatest unifier that we have is what happened on the cross and what you do with that?
Amen. Amen.
But we have allowed people to pit the body of Christ to cause us to turn inward and to almost feed on one another. But what would happen? What would happen if you have a generation of people who would really, truly stand up and say, man, I'm sick of you making an issue where there is no issue. I'm sick of you wanting me to look at my brother and sister, the one for whom Christ died, as if they are the enemy. You know what? You are the enemy. You are the enemy. If you're the enemy of God, you're my enemy. Now, look, I want you to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But until then, you're the they.
That's right.
You're the them.
That's right.
You're on the other side of the tracks. I mean, come on, right? At some point.
Yeah.
What if somebody stood up and did a post about Colin Kaepernick and his misunderstanding of Betsy Ross? Elizabeth. Anyways, all right, we got to grab the break. This is Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. It's wild on this Monday, but there's more to come.
Let's go.
Stay close.
Here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Up next, Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From poverty to professor, from GED to PhD, a bold Christian speaking truth to power. Here's Carol with today's 2 minutes.
Hello, folks. Back in 1987, there was a TV miniseries about the United States under Soviet occupation called America. America with a K, that is. The premise was, it's 10 years into a Soviet occupation of the U.S., and we find out that, quote, "You lost your country before we ever got here," says the Soviet leader. "You had political freedom, but you lost your passion." How could we not win? A stinging indictment of our nation, for sure, though judging by the voter turnout at many recent elections, it may be a warning worth heeding. America is somewhat prophetic in the sense that we see massive redistribution of wealth, farmland taken from those who have owned it and given to others who are deemed more worthy by their circumstances. Patriotic celebrations replaced with ones deemed more politically correct, and our children indoctrinated with socialist ideology and taught to hate all that America traditionally stood for. And in a speech in the final episode, we hear a young boy saying, "Everyone will go to school. Everyone will have a job. Everyone will be equal. No one will exploit or be exploited. And all those who oppose this wonderful vision will be crushed." These words of the 1980s TV drama so closely mimic those of today's progressive Democrats. We dare not take a lesson from this piece of fiction before it become fact before our very eyes.
Learn more about Dr. Carol M. Swain and help support her ongoing work with your tax-deductible donation to Be the People Project at carolmswain.com. That's carolmswain.com.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.
Welcome back. Oh, I hate to, it's so, look, Sherry's like, Miki, no. Sherry B over in Studio CC. Sherry B looked at me, she's like, "Don't you cut in on him?"
It's not a morning show.
I know. We gotta make a shift, guys. 6.5 years. We gotta make a shift. But we would, man, this song right here would take you into the office right here. This right here, right? In this crazy world. Oh, man, you got to recalibrate. In this world that we're living in right now, come on. Oh, if I could do what he just did, I would do that just for fun around the coffee pot.
That's great.
If I could do that. Get up on an apple box. Oh, my goodness. That's our decision. Guys, that is our proclamation.
Amen.
We proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is our proclamation. That Jesus Christ died and he rose again from the grave. It is in that resurrection that we have eternal life. It is
Amen.
That proclamation that we are willing to die for every single day. Guys, do not forget, in everything that we're talking about, yet we have to look at what's happening with politics. We look at what's happening in the culture today. But what? How do we recalibrate? What do we come back to? We come back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the blessing and the privilege of following him, that's ours. You understand? Like, we're not adding anything to Christ by deciding to follow him. What what a privilege and what a blessing it is for us to have once been dead in our sins and now made alive in Jesus Christ. That's our message. That's our message. Why do we stand against wickedness? Because Jesus is real. Because Jesus is real. Why do we proclaim him? Because without him, people will die and spend an eternity separated from God. It is right now. They are walking around. It's the sixth sense playing out in front of your eyes. You remember Haley Joel Osment? When I was in college, before the Lord really started to move on my heart about what I should be watching. I know. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but remember Haley Joel Osment?
Yeah.
You know, what do you see? I see dead people walking around like dead people. Remember what he said? They don't know they're dead. Guys, those are the people that we're ministering to every day.
Come on.
I remember being on college campus, and I remember us watching that movie, and I remember having this feeling of like, oh my goodness, guys, this is why we evangelize. And you know, people like, Miki, we're not looking for the life lesson in it. It's just Bruce Willis and entertainment and young Haley Joel Osment. We're not looking for that. But if you can think about it, that is what we are. Guys, people who are not saved, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with. They're getting up every day. They're going to work. They're dropping their kids off at school. Some of them are even homeschooling their kids, right? And what you're dealing with these people on social media. You're talking about the living dead. That's what you're talking about. And what's our job? What are we tasked with? We're tasked with carrying the gospel, yes, to the next generation. It comes to us and to our children and those who are far off. So yes, to the next generation, those within our own homes, but everywhere we go. So you have to keep in mind that you're dealing with people who are unregenerated. They are not born again. And so they don't even have it in the bank to fear God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they are the enemies of God.
And that's so humbling. That's so sobering, really. And I shared this thought with you yesterday about if we really believe some of the things that we say that we believe, if we believe that the Bible is the word of God, we would act accordingly.
That's right.
The word, the very word of God.
That's right.
If we believe that prayer does
if we believe it was powerful and effective.
Yeah. We would pray.
That's right.
And if we believe people were going to hell,
that
people were going to hell, then I think our compassion levels would be much greater for the lost.
We would evangelize.
Yeah.
We would share the truth. Do you know that your kids, when they see you evangelize, it increases the likelihood that they will be or remain faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what you are communicating to them is that your faith is real, that it is something that has really, truly captured your heart. You're not just a part of a Christian club whereby you go to church once or twice a week and you say all of these Christian phrases. You know what I mean? You don't have like a code of conduct because your group that you're in. But if you really do believe that you've been ransomed, that you've been captured by the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes the way you operate. It changes the way your kids see you operate. And that's what we've been calling people back to for a number of years now, to get back to the basic understanding of what it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is vital. It's non-negotiable. You know, you don't get to call audible, you know, just kind of making it up on the fly.
Right.
Well, I thought this was better. In fact, let me move on because we're going to get to that a little bit later.
Look,
coming up in the last segment, we will open the phone lines, but I'm going to try to weave into the discussion because I know the time's going to go away.
Yeah.
It's going to go away. But going to try to weave into the discussion Beth Moore. And you always want to be careful when you talk about what's going on in the church. But, you know, this is, you know, our program focuses on the culture and the church, marriage and the family. Especially. And so this kind of falls under what we would consider our purview. This is one of the things that we're watching to call out what is a dangerous disintegration in the church. Like, you have to be very careful. And it's hardest to discuss the disintegration when it's people that we like.
Yeah. Yeah. Our favorites.
If you got an apostate that we didn't really like him anyway, like, it's so much easier for us to expose him. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, sure.
Yeah.
We don't want you preaching. We don't like your style anyway. But when you've got your favorites, when you've got the people that you turn out for their Bible studies, you turn out, you know, for their sermons, their messages, their, you know, those are the people that it becomes most difficult to deal with. And I would say that our sister, look, and I'm not so quick, because there are some people who are like, if you get off track, rather than correct you and gently restore you, there are some people who just say, oh, that's it.
So you're not saying that she's an apostate?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are some things that you and I have discussed, mm-hmm. you know, in the last few months. I would say there's some things that you and I have discussed post-Trump about Beth Moore that when you collect all of those things together, she is, as the Apostle Paul described, I would say she is swerving.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But here's the thing, and that's what we're going to talk about today, talking about the quarrels, because you had our family going through the pastoral epistles.
Yes.
Which I have enjoyed so
Titus,
much.
And both powerful Timothy. Stuff. Yeah.
And so we started out with 1 Timothy, and then you had us skip to Titus and then go back. And so now we're in 2 Timothy.
In chapter 2.
And I saw a pattern, and this was really cool. You know, when you read it this way and you're studying, you're talking it through with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a pattern that the Apostle Paul is consistently warning Timothy and Titus about quarrels, about dissensions, and about arguments and all of these things. And so as I was looking at that, you know, it just kind of jumped out at me repeatedly. So, of course, you know, you had us taking notes on it and, mm-hmm. and coming together with those notes. So I was already taking notes. So I just started kind of adding my observations, and I wanted to use that as a backdrop for us to talk about, you know, how do we know when are those situations when you do need to say, hey, this is wrong. And this is not just a matter of quarreling. It's not just a matter of, you know, fruitless arguments. But there are real moments where you have both, you know, fruitless arguments that are to be avoided.
Right.
But then there are also moments where you say, hang on here.
Right.
That's a problem, you know, because one of the things that the Apostle Paul does by way of the Spirit of God, as he's writing, as he's carried along by the Spirit of God, one of the things that the Apostle Paul does is he gives the reason for us challenging and rebuking those who are teaching heresies, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. we don't want to just be bickering over things like genealogies and things that are fruitless.
Right.
But he does give an encouragement for correcting and bringing back into the fold, if you will, those who get off track. And it's for their own good.
Mm.
I mean, it's also so that it doesn't spread like gangrene.
Because it will.
Because it will. And the Apostle Paul was witnessing that, right? And so he was admonishing both Timothy and Titus to make sure that you don't allow these things to spread. But at the same time, it's for that person who is spreading the lies and, you know, causing upsetting entire groups, as the Apostle put it.
Right.
It's also for their benefit as well. So I am not in the camp of easily saying that a person is no longer saved. I do think you need to watch, you need to pray, you need to be ready to biblically engage the heresies that you see there. When a person gets off grid, you need to be able to say, nope, you're no longer on biblically sound footing. Now, in order to be able to do that, you got to know what's biblically sound.
That's right. That's right.
And if you have any hope of being able to do that, you got to read the Bible.
That's right. You know, a person when confronted with error or some type of heresy, if their heart is fixed in the right place, you know, I think it would be something to turn them back towards the right way.
Amen. Amen.
And if their heart is not, it would be something that would just take them way off, you know, into the left field.
Yes, to your point, if the person is misguided,
mm-hmm.
and if the person is sort of like in the category of a Peter, mm-hmm. where, you know, this fear of man and being gripped by the severity of the moment that, like, oh my goodness, you know, and they have a moment where they act in a way that is inconsistent with truth.
Yeah.
And that's a momentary lapse, and you
momentary
can bring them
lapse.
Back.
That's
then
right.
You're going to see their willingness to be restored.
And that's what we hope for.
That's what you hope for.
Yes.
That's your aim.
Right.
That's your end game.
Yes.
Right there. Right. But if the person is truly an apostate, then what will happen, generally speaking, is that they're going to dig in.
Yeah.
They're going to dig in. They're going to be, you know, basically there's no way you're going to make me.
Right.
You know, and when you encounter that, I think that that becomes one of those indicators that you're no longer dealing with a brother or a sister. And look, the Apostle Paul did not mince words when calling people out by name.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just hope that people would catch his drift or understand what he meant. He, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't include in any of his letters, but specifically in these three pastoral epistles we're talking about, he didn't include any words that would have, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean?
He was very clear. There was nothing left to debate there. So anyway, I'm going to give a few passages that I hope that our faithful listeners will go back and look up, because these are cultural issues that we're discussing right now.
Right.
But we must always have a biblical approach to those issues, even though they're happening in the culture. And then this issue with Beth Moore, I say, is happening in the church.
Yeah.
This is the culture is influencing the church, which is why it seems like it's a cultural issue. But really, human sexuality and sexual identity, that's a church issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a body of Christ issue. That's an Imago Dei issue. That's not a, oh, just let the culture work that out. No, man, we got to go out. We got to be sent out. We're ambassadors. We've got to bring the truth. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul opens his letter to Timothy. He's charging him to charge certain individuals not to teach any different doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So point blank, when you get into the realm of teaching a different doctrine, you've got to be called out.
Yeah, that's a problem.
There. That's problem ace number one.
Yes.
Like this is not, you know, meat sacrifice to idols. When do we have our service? This is not that. If you're teaching some new doctrine, right, then you've got to be called out almost immediately. And then the Bible goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes that overseers must not be quarrelsome, right? So again, and I'm trying to do two things here. I'm trying to show that we are not just calling people out to bicker, right? You know, there's some people who, if you don't agree with everything that they say, then they want to call you out as an apostate.
Right.
You have to be careful. And the Bible even says to avoid the divisive person.
That's right.
Warn them once and then warn them twice. And then after that, have nothing to do with them. Again, check the facts. It's in the book. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul is warning Timothy that in the later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Will, I remember one time you said to me, you said, Miki, have you ever stopped to think that demons have doctrines, that they have teachings?
Right.
Which is startling, by the way. Like but would make sense, because some of the stuff that you hear being taught today, that is so far beyond the context of the scriptures you go, that's got to come from demons.
Right.
There's no other way that could be present in the church today. So anyways, spirits and teachings of demons. Verse 2, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Their consciences are seared. And here's the thing I think we have to understand too. When a person gets to a seared conscience, it's not the first time they've gotten it wrong. It's not, oh, that's a misstep. You know, you didn't exegete the scripture properly. You didn't, you know, you don't have a contextual understanding of the scriptures. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a seared conscience, that's by way of consistent rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have retrained your mind to think in an opposite way than what the book says, you have consistently rebelled against God in your thinking. And so, I mean, what we're talking about, seared conscience, we're talking about reprobate. Yeah. We're talking about being handed over to yourself to believe that what you believe is right.
Right.
You have it's self-righteousness is essentially what it is. So anyway, at the same time that Paul is cautioning Timothy and Titus against bickering, he clearly points out that there is a need to confront those who are swerving from the faith. Mm. We cannot overlook that, because what the bickering leads to, if that's not called out, what we consider the, you know, the infighting and all of that stuff. Well, if you don't call out the error and the heresy concerned in or contained in even the bickering, it leads to those who eventually swerve from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got to bring those people back. And the proof is in the pudding as to whether or not they can be brought back and how they respond to the correction.
Right.
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 Let me just say this. Church discipline is not jeans that go out of style. Okay, everybody? I just want to say that. Like, for a minister of the gospel to approach you and say, hey, we've noticed some things that are inconsistent with your profession of faith, and to then pull you aside and say, let's talk about what the Bible says about this. That should not be a shocker in the church today. That should be commonplace. In fact, that should define our engagement with one another, that we are iron sharpening iron. Yes, we're telling you the great things that you're doing. Yes, we are affirming you and building you up. But also, when we see that there's sin, we got to call those things out. We got to say, right. Hold on a second. We don't want to give occasions for the enemies of God to blaspheme God.
That's right.
So as you can see, with the amount of followers that Beth Moore has, with the amount of years that she's been in open public ministry, it is only right that she would be called to the table and asked, wait a minute, what exactly is your position on homosexuality? Erin the Addisons will be right back.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
As a head coach, while our goal was to win football games, make it to the playoffs, and even to win the Super Bowl, there were other things I wanted our team to focus on that were more important to me. The reason? Because that's what I believed God called us to do. To build traits like integrity and character, to help others in need, and to seek God's guidance and wisdom in every decision we made. So I challenge you today to change your plan into His plan. Do things for the right reason, to glorify God, and your plans will succeed at the time and in the way that God chooses.
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. More at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio, where we are music snobs. We only play the truth. I don't care how good it sounds, if it's got error in it, or if it's ambiguous music, you know, the Christian music that could cross over.
Yeah, I've learned.
Miki doesn't like it. If it's about Jesus, then say his name.
Amen.
Mention his name. I don't want your song to have club play. What? Okay, I don't have time for this. This is me doing a three-hour show
We got to pare it down.
Let's pare it down. Okay, here we go. Let's just get right back. What I wanted to do was come back with reading the scripture and go right into what's happening with Beth Moore so that we can allow some time. We're going to open the phone lines up, but just give me a few minutes to just finish this up, and then we'll go back into it. But welcome back to Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and that's Path of Revelation Believers.
Biblically sound artists.
Yes.
Biblically sound artists. Okay, nope, moving on. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Beth Moore began to present a problem post the Donald Trump election where the culture was writhing, and there was a Me Too moment that happened in the culture. And Beth Moore, and look, and this is not to undermine any of, you know, anybody's experience ever, but Beth Moore sort of, you know, got on the tip of this pinhead that was the Me Too movement, where the culture was having a hiccup, and then turned to the church and said, hey, why aren't you guys having a hiccup? And the church should have been like, hey, we got scripture for that.
Right.
We don't need hashtags. That's what the church should have said. But the church didn't say that. The church was like, wait a minute. Should we use your hashtag too?
We got scripture. We don't need
hashtags when we have scripture. Like, scripture is tweetable. Tweetable. It's unbelievable, but it's tweetable. Anyways, and so Beth Moore got onto this, not just sharing her own personal experience, which would have been fine, but Beth Moore got into this by joining the Me Too movement. And then also, you'll remember back in October of last year, Beth Moore had this outrageous event. Well, it wasn't an event. She was ministering to a group of people, but she had her drummer come out and stand, well, not stand, kneel in proxy for all men and apologize to all women.
Yikes.
For every sexual assault and any demeaning behavior that had ever been perpetrated on a woman by a man. Not only is that unbiblical, but it's incredibly demeaning of men. Like, I we could spend a whole entire show talking about that. And, you know, in retrospect, back in October, we probably did. Okay. I mean, it was just getting caught up in the moment where here Beth Moore is again. And a few weeks ago, Beth Moore was asked by six women in an open letter what her position was on homosexuality. Because you can see that Beth Moore is changing to a liberal ideology. Okay, she's in the woke movement here. Mm-hmm. Beth Moore squarely is, all right? And I know this is going to offend some people. She's your favorite. But she's in a liberal kind of woke space right now. And it seems that in order to be in that space, you've got to accept all of their tenets. And in the woke space, it's not just that black people are victims, because remember, what they cut their teeth on is intersectionality, which means you see how many points you can rack up based on how many points at which you've been oppressed. So like, Will, so I'm a black woman.
So you have more points than me.
I have more points than you. I can cash them in at any moment that I want.
But I have more points than Sherry B.
You have more points than Sherry because Sherry's a white woman. Now, Sherry would have more points than, say, like Brian Fisher, who came on just before us.
Craziness.
Look, Sherry's shaking her head. She's like, and I cash my points in regularly. Guys, but do you see how foolish this is? This is the culture that we're living in. Now, I'm mocking this, but there are people who are like, no, intersectionality is real. And they really like to cash in their points. Let me get back to this here so we can have some time for calls. All right. So a few weeks ago, a group of women Bible study teachers wrote an open letter to Beth Moore. They prefaced the letter. It was brilliantly laid out. I thought it was very measured. But they basically got to about five questions that they asked Beth Moore. To date, there's been no response from Beth Moore or anybody really from the Southern Baptist Convention, unfortunately, guys. I mean, that's just the reality here. I know that offends some people. But here were the questions that were raised and directed in this open letter to Beth Moore. Number one, do you believe homosexuality is inherently sinful? Number two, do you believe that the practice of the homosexual lifestyle is compatible with holy Christian living? Do you believe a person who dies as a practicing homosexual but professes to be a Christian will inherit eternal life? Number four, do you believe same-sex attraction is, in and of itself, an inherently sinful, unnatural, and disordered desire that must be mortified?
Mortifies.
Preacher, come on, man. Put it to death. And then number five, why have you been so silent on this subject in light of your desire to teach the word of God? Now, this is, we're talking to a Bible teacher.
Right.
Okay. So if we're going to teach the word of God, in Beth Moore's case to women, if you're going to teach the word of God, then you have to be held accountable for all of it.
Right.
Not just the portions that allow for you to stand in Wokeville.
Right.
Because we can find the passages of scripture where we're like, to the least of these. And so now we're using intersectionality.
Right.
Marx would be proud. Right. We can find those. But you've got to teach the entire counsel of the word of God. Now, somebody might be wondering, well, why would we think any different about Beth Moore? Why would we even question her on this, you know, setting aside what she's been doing recently in woke land? Well, the reason that there's been a question about this is because it appears that in digital format, one of Beth Moore's books that is about 10 years old has been reworked to exclude a previous passage in the book. Okay. So in her book, Praying God's Word, the book was published in 2009. In that book, this is what Beth Moore wrote. And I want you to listen carefully here. She says, before we proceed to our scripture prayers for overcoming sexual strongholds, we are wise to address another deadly sexual assault of the evil one in our society, homosexuality. This is just in 2009, Will. I have wonderful news for anyone who has struggled with homosexual sin. God indeed can deliver you and anxiously awaits your full cooperation. I'll just keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Okay, so she continues. Do not let Satan shame you into not seeking forgiveness, fullness, and complete restoration in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know complete transformation is possible, not only because God's word says so, but because I have witnessed it with my own eyes. I know plenty of believers who have been set free from homosexuality.
Amen. She's talking about deliverance.
Brilliant.
Set free.
Perfect.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think there is anything wrong with that. However, she recently, in an exchange with an individual on Facebook, kind of walked that back. And she changed that in the Kindle version of this book, which is the only format that this book is available in. It's no longer in print. So in the Kindle version of this book, that is taken out. And when pressed on why she did that, this is how she responded on Twitter. She says, nearly makes me cry. It was not a fast decision. I took several years to contemplate what to do about it. Speaking of this passage here, as I watched the damage it caused. The it is this portion of the book that I just read to you from 2009.
Wow.
Okay. She watched this passage or this portion of the book cause damage. She says, it's an old book, but still widely used. It was not my intention, but I made people feel demonized. Then she says this, I overshot scripture by a mile.
Really?
No, Beth.
I didn't
No,
hear.
Beth. No, you didn't. You only overshot scripture by a mile in this new woke era that we're in.
Right.
Where you can be homosexual and still be a Christian and God is all right with that. Where that becomes your identity. That is a worldly construct. I want people to understand that. People understand that. That is incompatible with biblical conviction. The only way you overshot that passage by a mile is if you have a new gospel.
Oh.
Now, I'm just going to step back. I wish, you know, I'm going to open the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Sherry's like, bring it on. 888-589-8840. So look, when people are saying, hey, Beth Moore, what are your thoughts about homosexuality? What do you believe? Now, really, what Beth Moore should say, now, you know, and she's kind of been silent on this. But she should respond. She should have a response to this. And why should she have a response? Because she publicly apologized for this particular passage from 10 years ago. If there had been no word of apology, I mean, it might have been suspect and it might be filed in the category of conspiracy. And we say, well, she's been doing some weird things with the Me Too movement and this these weird things with, you know, the roles of women. And, you know, some of these things, you know, you could do a little bit of that. But to publicly come out and say what I previously wrote 10 years ago, overshot scripture by a mile? Will the Great, that's a problem.
Yeah, like, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
And I think Wokeville has gotten her.
Yeah.
Like, that to me, that would be the reason why you would rework something or edit something that you previously said.
Yep.
You know, because it don't fit with what's going on now, even in even within the church.
Now, let me tell you something else that is a stunning turn of events. It's interesting that all this stuff is kind of converging and happening at the same time. July 15th through the 17th in Westside, Houston, Texas, Beth Moore is going to be a part of an event called Write Brilliant, W-R-I-T-E, Write Brilliant, where she will join, among others, Jonathan Merritt. Jonathan Merritt, the son of the former SBC president, who came out talking about that, you know, I was going to be nice and say he was struggling with homosexuality, but really believes that you can be homosexual and a Christian. You know, he believes that the right conservatives lost in culture. I mean, that's his contribution wow. right now to what would be called evangelical Christianity, that he's of that group of people that believes you don't have to mortify the flesh.
That's sad, because that makes it sound like a saving your bottom line.
It sounds like being in cahoots. You know, why are you being affirmed by Jen Hatmaker? I mean, you know, and you know, I know Rachel Held Evans just passed, but even before that, being affirmed by Rachel Held Evans, who mocked the church, openly mocked the church. And these women have large followings of women who are reading their Bible studies and showing up to hear what they believe the Lord is showing them in Scripture.
Right.
And so these become the things that I believe that Timothy is warned about by the Apostle Paul and Titus as well. Let's go to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Will the Great, who do we have?
All right, we have Felicia in Texas. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hey, good evening. Good morning. Good evening, Felicia.
Hey, I'm not going to stay long. I just wanted to say that I agree with you guys. My husband and I, we pastor a small church, and my saying to my husband is always, people live, especially the body of Christ, they live like there will be no judgment.
Mm.
And I don't get this. You know, the Word of God doesn't change. It never will change. God is God.
Amen.
Amen.
And people need to get their lives together. They need to get in their Word and read the Word and not compromise with the world. We don't compromise.
That's right.
At
That's
all
right.
In our church. And if people leave our church because we don't compromise the Word, well, we say bye bye.
Yeah. That's right, Felicia. Thank you so much for calling in. It's true. But, you know, the time that we're living in now is where people want to fit the Word of God into their construct.
Mm-hmm.
They want things to be shaved off the Word of God that cannot be reconciled to their own personal lives instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. Will the Great.
Let's go to Hugo in Texas. Hey, Hugo.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I wanted to point out that in the Bible, God says it is under God that only God can judge. So why is it that humans are always trying to judge and speak for God instead of letting God do the speaking in the end? Because we're all going to the same place at one point or another. God is going to judge us in the end, right? So why choose, you know, whether or not God is going to judge us in the good or bad way?
Yeah, Hugo, that's a great question. It's a question that a lot of people ask, but mostly that question is asked when we don't want to be accountable, Hugo, if I could just say that. And let me ask you something. Do we still have Hugo? Okay, we've lost him. My question would have been whether or not Hugo is a Christian. This question is often raised by those who are maybe flirting with Christianity and would come to Christ if they could just continue on in their same life. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to give anything up, if you don't have to sacrifice anything, if you can just come as you are and stay as you are, then most people are fine with Jesus Christ that way. But it's when Jesus Christ says that to come to follow me is to come to die. That's where people have a problem. And I would say this really quickly as we move to the next call, maybe we can fit one more in. Let me just say this. If Christians cannot know what the life of a believer looks like, then we don't need much of the New Testament.
Wow.
If it stops after conversion and coming to Christ, now we're not then looking at what it looks like to live as a new believer and then calling out sin. This is a task of the Christian. Then we don't need a lot of Paul's letters. We don't need Peter's letters. We don't need what James wrote. We don't need any of that. Mm-hmm. There's a reason it's there, and it's because we need to inspect what people claim. Amen. Let's take one more call, Will.
Paula in Oklahoma. Hey, Paula.
Hi. I just want to say that I was in the homosexual lifestyle for almost 25 to 30 years, and I thought I was born that way, and it's Satan, and I am a born-again Christian.
Come on,
I'm
Paula.
Born on 8 years, and we have to stay strong, and y'all have to keep spreading the word, and I work in an elementary school, and it is so hard to just teach. And because of the way society and people are saying, you know, just do what you want to.
Come on.
I know I have Christian friends who they agree, like, it's okay. You can still have same-sex marriage. You can be gay. Wow. No, we can't. We are supposed to please Christ and live for Christ.
Amen. And Paula, let me say this to your point. Excellent point. Thank you so much for calling. This is what it is to have newness of life. This is what it is to come into the Lord Jesus Christ and to have newness of life. Okay, we are out of time for today. Grease lightning. All right, until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.